And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Bible was on trial, said the Reverend Dr. Johanna Pajola, Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland, the ELMDF, in correspondence with LCMS Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, President Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, and Director of Church Relations, the Reverend Dr. Jonathan E. Shaw. Harrison and Shaw recently sent a note of encouragement to Pajola and Dr. Ravi Rasanan, a medical doctor and long-standing member of the Finnish Parliament, as the two faced charges in Finland for so-called hate speech. "We were in court for almost 9 hours. It was unreal to hear bad theology from the prosecutor, although she said that it is not a question about Bible and theology," Pajola wrote. Harrison and Shaw, like many in the LCMS and around the world, have watched with piqued interest the saga of Pajola and Rasanan. Their trial stems from the publication of Rasanan's 2004 pamphlet, Man and Woman He Created Them, Homosexuality and the Challenge to the Christian Concept of Man. In that pamphlet, Rasanan confesses the biblical view of marriage and sexuality, including the Bible's teaching that homosexuality is a sin. In their email to Pajola and Rasanan, Harrison and Shaw wrote, "The Augsburg Confession begins by quoting Psalm 119:46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." They concluded, "With earnest prayer for you, your families and the church, joined to a thankful spirit for soldiers such as you in Christ." Rasanan and Pajola were arraigned on charges that they have made available and kept available to the public opinions and statements which disparage homosexuals as a group on the basis of their sexual orientation. Their ordeal started with a police investigation on August 29, 2019, the result of a complaint about the pamphlet. The Prosecutor General of Finland, contrary to the decision of the Detective Chief Inspector, decided to order a preliminary investigation on October 31, 2019. Formal charges were filed on April 29, 2021. The public trial began on January 24 at 9:30 a.m. in the Helsinki District Court and lasted for approximately 9 hours. The district prosecutor read the indictment and demanded that certain passages be removed from the publication, Man and Woman He Created Them, and that Rasanan and Pajola be fined a victim surcharge. The prosecutor also demanded a corporate fine of a minimum of €10,000 for the Luther Foundation Finland, since Pajola approved of the pamphlet as the organization's official representative. Somewhat surprisingly, the questioning during the trial turned to the content and interpretation of the Holy Bible. Observers have noted, as Pajola has also said, that the contents of the Bible were labelled hate speech. Twitter posts containing citations from scripture were also labelled as hateful. Therefore, the Finnish Prosecutor General is calling for the deletion of the posts and the removal of access to a 2019 interview during which Rasanen also discussed homosexuality as contrary to God's will and design for humanity. It is a beautiful irony that this trial commenced on January the 24th when we were in church, are celebrating the Feast of St. Timothy. Tradition holds that Timothy interrupted a parade of pagans on the way to celebrate their godless feast and called them to repent of their idolatry. The pagans were so incensed at his preaching that they fell upon him and beat him to death with clubs. We pray that this courage, which certainly comes not from St. Timothy but from Timothy's Lord and our Lord, guides Bishop Pajola and MP Rasanen in these discouraging days, said Harrison. Doubtless Timothy was encouraged by this exhortation from Paul. May it encourage us as well. Fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made good confession in the presence of so many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. The trial will continue on February the 14th, with a decision expected within 4 weeks of that date. In all the charges, I deny any wrongdoing. My writings and statements under investigation are linked to the Bible's teaching on marriage, living as a man and woman, as well as the Apostle Paul's teaching on homosexual acts, said Rasanen. The teachings concerning marriage and sexuality in the Bible arise from love of one's neighbour, not from hate towards any group of people. Rasanen regards homosexuals as fully equal humans and, in addition, equally worthy human beings created in the image of God. Out of love for all people, she desires to speak the word of God in truth. The noble task of us all facing this age is to speak and act in truth and love, each in his own or her own vocation, and in our weaknesses, for us to act as the word of God states, and our consciences oblige, wrote Paola in a recent blog post. I know that we do not have to go through this on the basis of our own strength. The prayers of many around the world are upholding our country, our judicial authorities, and ourselves through this. Harrison asked the people of the LCMS to continue to pray for Paola and Rasanen, for the church in Finland, and for all Christians, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be proclaimed and God's saints strengthened to boldly witness to the truth. Catholic churches in England have been scrapping Latin confirmation services amid Pope Francis's drive to modernise the church. For Christians, the three separate sacraments or rites of initiations into the Church are baptism, confirmation and Holy Communion. Following a diktat from Rome, English bishops are now cancelling scores of old rite confirmations in favour of the simpler Reformed liturgies. The new guidelines published last month ban ordinations and confirmations in the unreformed liturgy and severely restrict other sacraments. The Pope has issued warnings about the tendency of neo-traditionalism among younger clergy, telling fellow Jesuits in Africa in 2019, "Have you ever seen young priests all stiff in black cassocks and hats in the shape of the planet Saturn on their heads? Behind all rigid clericalism, there are serious problems." These new guidelines will prevent a priest from offering sacraments in the old rite without permission. As a result, churches in England are cancelling their Latin confirmation services. Joseph Shaw, chairman of the Latin Mass Society, told The Telegraph, "They're not stopping it because it's not popular. They're stopping it because it is popular, and that worries them, because it's not what they're used to. They spent their lives using the Reformed liturgy and essentially have devoted their lives to pushing a mistake. That's a painful thing to admit. Young people like traditional Mass. It has perennial value and has a more classic style." Latin Mass is a Roman Catholic Mass celebrated in ecclesiastical Latin. While the liturgy is in Latin, sermons are permitted in the local vernacular. Preparations for around 20 confirmations in the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite were scheduled to take place at the Birmingham Oratory in February, and more than 40 were expected to be conferred at St James's Church, Spanish Place, London in June. However, all of them have been cancelled after the Responsa ad Dubia, published in December by the Congregation for Divine Worship, which suggested that old rite liturgies were impermissible. The crackdown by the Vatican was intended to halt possible divisions within the Church following the growing popularity of the old rite, particularly among young people and families, with one senior official claiming devotion to the Latin Mass had become a movement that was out of control. However, priests who continue to offer Mass in both the ordinary and extraordinary forms said the move has alienated many of the faithful, leaving them bewildered and flummoxed and failing to grasp why they were being punished. "Everybody is very disappointed," one priest told the Catholic Herald. "People can't understand it. It's a monumental failure of not listening and not caring. This seems to be just a slap in the face." Pope Benedict achieved peace in this area, he continued, but now war has been declared and nobody quite understands why. A spokesperson for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales said, "Pope Francis is presiding over a reform in the broadest sense. This reform is examining every area of administration and practice. Liturgical celebrations in Latin are not the issue. Sacraments celebrated by bishops, priests and deacons are to be celebrated according to normative law, using the liturgical books of Pope St. Paul VI and Pope St. John Paul II. An Oxford College four-year battle to oust its dean amid claims of scandalous behaviour, unsound judgement, mental incapacity and sexual harassment has ended after it agreed to a substantial payoff. The Very Reverend Professor Martin Percy, the Dean of Christchurch, has agreed to step down following a mediation process that concluded last Friday and is said to resolve all outstanding issues. It means an employment tribunal scheduled for next year will not go ahead. Instead, the college will pay a substantial sum in compensation to the Very Reverend Percy and reimburse his legal costs, his supporters said. The college has also agreed to an independent review of its governance. As part of the settlement, he will relinquish his position at the end of April. A statement from Christchurch on Friday said, a resolution has been reached that is acceptable to all parties, adding, the individual who made the allegation of sexual harassment against the dean has agreed to settle her claim in terms which, on her request, are confidential. It was alleged that the dean briefly stroked and commented on the hair of an unidentified woman, a claim he denied. Thames Valley Police also conducted an investigation after the matter was reported. A spokesman said at the time that the investigation has now concluded and the matter has been filed pending further information coming to light. The person referred to by the college as X said she brought a claim of sexual harassment in October 2020. In a statement released by the college, she said, he has also denied that he victimised me, including after I brought employment tribunal proceedings against him. I have to accept, incredibly reluctantly, that it is my word against his that this incident took place. I'm acutely aware that this is a situation faced by many women who bring complaints of a sexual nature. Sadly, the various processes that have followed have not altered this situation. However, I want to acknowledge that Christchurch, to their credit, has always supported my right to make this complaint. The college has said it made it clear throughout the various dispute processes with the dean that no resolution could be reached unless the concerns of the individual making the allegation against him were fully addressed. At the individual's request, Christchurch said that within 12 months it would commission a comprehensive review of its policies and procedures on sexual harassment to be led by an independent expert. The college said the review would ensure that any future cases were dealt with fairly and expeditiously. In a statement, X said, I know what I experienced on that day and I want to ensure that no other student or member of staff has to go through this ordeal that I have. I am pleased that the dean has agreed to step down from his role at Christchurch and in return I have agreed to settle my outstanding claims against him. The dean thanked his family, friends and legal advisers and wished the college well for the future, calling it a special place. He said, now I can now step aside and look forward to resuming a normal life with my wife Emma, who has been such a rock of strength during this painful struggle. I hope the independent reviews overseen by the Charity Commission will succeed. I sincerely hope that the same standards in public life will come to expect of our most cherished national institutions, including integrity, transparency and accountability, will flourish and bear fruit here. In a statement, Christchurch said, Christchurch has always regarded the safety and well-being of its students and staff as its highest priority. Any such allegation will always be thoroughly investigated and addressed while respecting the right to a fair hearing for the accused. Christchurch is deeply sorry for the hurt that this individual has suffered and we regret the time that it has taken to bring these matters concerning the dean to a conclusion. In December, Lord Patton, a former cabinet minister who is now Chancellor of Oxford University, said the protracted and ongoing dispute was damaging the university's reputation. Bishops need their dioceses to keep them earthed in a specific region in the same way that MPs need constituencies, the Bishop of Buckingham has said in response to proposals that Church of England leaders could be appointed to non-territorial cabinet-style political roles. Proposals to overhaul how the Church of England is organised and run, seen by the Times, include the suggestion that some bishops who no longer wish to lead a church region could be detached from their diocese to act as spokesmen or spokeswomen on special topics in which they have a very particular passion and knowledge. A church document shared with bishops notes examples might have been the appointment of a Brexit bishop or a COVID bishop. The concept has drawn concern from within and outside the church. Steve Baker, the Conservative MP, who is a confirmed Anglican and now worships at a Baptist church, said, whilst I wish to witness love to my brothers and sisters in the Church of England, if they insist on forming a shadow cabinet, I may have to request excommunication. He added, there aren't enough church-going Christians to keep many churches viable, so when I learn the bishops are thinking about how to become more political, I do wonder whether they have read the Bible. The Right Reverend Alan Wilson, the Bishop of Buckingham, was asked whether he would like to serve as a Brexit bishop and told Times Radio, no, not really, it's not the job for me. He suggested he would not support proposals to detach bishops from their regional roles and said, MPs are expected to have their own constituencies. Most MPs I've known of all stripes are actually pretty good at that. If a constituent writes, they take good notice of that. So if our politicians need to have an earthing, a reality around their work, Lord knows bishops do. Some dioceses and bishops do hold specific briefs at present, commenting on issues including gambling reform, prisons and artificial intelligence, both within the House of Lords and in public debate, although none do so for full time, and all retain a link to one of the church's 42 dioceses, overseeing a large number of staff and institutions in their region and acting as the chief pastor locally. Wilson said that the church had special bishops to minister to those who opposed the ordination of women, and said that an acquaintance had remarked, "Why don't you have bishops for things that matter? Why don't you have a bishop for vegans or a bishop for environmentalists?" And it's a thought, isn't it? Under the proposals, the ecclesiastical map of England could be redrawn, with mergers between financially struggling dioceses and the creation of new constituencies for bishops based on cities, counties or large regions of the country. Bishops could also face a cut in their stipends and term limits. The Reverend Angela Tilby, a priest who has served on the General Synod, said she could understand that simplification is necessary in the way the church is run, but said that some of the proposals showed a mentality of specialism and managerialism that represented a real radical break that's going down the line of secular institutions. Some bishops consulted about the proposals said they felt church leaders could remain grounded in a specific location. Richard Chapman, the church's head of parliamentary affairs, said that he did not detect any enthusiasm from bishops for being divorced from their regions to focus full-time on political or social issues. And finally, as the storm raged, the captain realized his ship was sinking fast. He called out, "Does anyone here know how to pray?" Pastor Jamie stepped forward. "Captain, I know how to pray." "Good," said the captain. "You pray while the rest of us put on our life jackets. We're one short."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.